second, we could, we have, state your name, we can have our machine working, okay? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm Rhonda Jensen, I'm Sean Jensen's wife, and just to give you a short background, Michael at the time, Sean and I have been married over 47 years in June. We were married 9 months before his crime, and we were married at the Assembly of God Church, and that's our background, so we are Christians, and we love God very much, and for the years that have passed by, our faith has only grown deeper. And I did want to say that when Sean was arrested, I did visit him in the county jail, and this is the only piece I'll put back, and he did tell me at that time, when I asked him what happened, he said it was like being back in Vietnam. So I visited him weekly for the past 46 years. We talk on the phones we talk on the phone every day.
Take your time.
So with the visits, all of that is to say that I know him very, very well. And at one point, though, when we had a second trial in 1985, then we lost that trial. Afterwards, I needed to make a decision. I was 31, 32 years old at that point, and I needed to find out what was said at that trial was accurate. And so I asked him, tell me people from your life. Tell me relatives, tell me schoolmates, tell me, and he gave me a list of people, and I went and tracked them down. And then our attorney then, who was here this morning, he said he would be back, Victor Arena, actually went and conducted the interviews, which were part of the report that Victor Arena submitted to you.
Excuse me one second. Those on the phone, please try to remain quiet, and if you put your phone on mute, that would be very helpful because we're getting some noise. Please excuse me for interrupting.
So, one of the major thing that caught my attention was a story that Sean's foster mother said that he had hit her upside the head with a board and knocked her out and went to juvenile, et cetera, et cetera. And so I wondered, am I married to that type of person? Because that's not how I'm going to choose to live my life and make the sacrifices that I've been making. And I found out that it was absolutely, none of it was true. And after I was able to confirm who Sean is, that he is who he said he was and who I believed him to be, it has been my commitment to stay with him. He's a wonderful person, and you expect me to say that, but truly you will hear from other people after me who will talk about what a wonderful person he is. And he is caring, loving, really cares about other people, extends himself. I just wanted to mention one highlight of the years was when Sean actually received a letter from his birth mother, and it was in your packet. It was very, very just the most wonderful thing. Every time I read the letter, I cry because it, he had just never had that, and he did have a few short phone calls with her before she died. And so that was one of our great blessings. As far as when Sean is released, at what point he's released, he will come home to our home, which we've maintained for all these years. And I'm there for him. I work full time, so gainfully employed. You know, we're financially stable, and we'll continue to work for a number of years. And I will support him emotionally, help him with whatever he needs help. And we have an amazing support system. So, because I worked in law firms, large law firms, for over 20 years, a lot of the people we know are attorneys. So not only the attorneys that are here today who we consider our personal friends and who are part of our support system, but there are many other dozens of attorneys. We have also Dr. Gilman, who has become a personal friend, who's part of our support system. We have, when Sean is able, I know I'm sure you're not supposed to have contact with other inmates, but when that parole is on the ends, we have inmates and their families who love him, and we can resume then a relationship with them. And we have a wonderful religious community of friends who are also there for us. You know, there's just any number of people we can call, including ministers. Our friend Danny Sindak is here. He's a worship leader. We just have many, we're blessed, honestly, with many, many, many friends. So I did want to also say something else right now, and then I'll be done. But it seems that we always come to these hearings and they're adversarial. And I don't know if I have actually told and expressed how sorry that I am and how it has also affected, you know, with great sadness, my life for the loss of Kathy and Jim. And it's sad. Sean and I are very, very sad, both of us. And they were wonderful young people. This is a tragedy that never should have happened. And I just wanted to let them know that we are sad and we do pray for healing. And that's all I have to say. Do you have any questions?
Thank you so much for coming over the room. Before the board, board members, any questions? Yeah, none, but thanks again. Thank you.
Next, we'd like to have Meryl Poppin come to speak.
Good afternoon, sir, and please state your name, sir.
My name is Meryl Poppin.
And what do you want to tell the board this afternoon?
I'm an ex-offender. I met Sean Jensen in 2007 when I entered prison. I was 30 years old, so obviously I knew everything. The prison directed me to go to Sean. He was a facilitator for the prison's programs. And I went to Sean, and he asked me, what did I need? I told him the classes that they told me that I needed to sign up for. And he asked me why I wanted to attend those classes. I told him, well, because they told me I had to. Sean Jensen told me to go away. This was our first encounter. I was angry. I was angry about a lot of things, but specifically that day I was angry at Sean for telling me to go away. I didn't understand it. He did come to me later, and he explained that he only wanted me in his classes if I wanted to be there. And I had to come up with reasons to give him of why I wanted to be there, not why the Department of Corrections wanted me to be there. And it took me a few weeks speaking to my wife, speaking to friends, and speaking to Sean before I came up with those reasons. And I told him, I'm 30 years old, I'm in prison, I have a 13-year sentence. I have young children at home, I have a new wife at home. I don't want to lose all of that. And Sean told me, that's what you need to hold on to. Those are the reasons that you need to take these classes. So I started. I took anger management. I took cognitive restructuring. I took the courses that DOC mandated. And then I went further because Sean prompted me. He asked me what my education was. I told him I have a GED. He asked me if that was good enough. And it was not. I enrolled in college. I'm the only member of my family to ever get a college degree. I have an associate's degree, thanks to Sean Jensen. Through his psychology classes, he started teaching me about paradigms and how I could change my thinking to then change my actions. I used that my entire time, and I'm happy to say I served 11 years of my 13-year sentence, and I had zero disciplinary infractions. Not one. That was because of the things that I learned from Sean Jensen. Sean Jensen saved my life. He saved my marriage and he saved my relationship to my kids. I was going down a path that I was not going to come back from. didn't have the tools to correct my thoughts and my actions. And Sean Jensen gave me those tools. And he didn't have to. I love Sean Jensen and Rhonda. My kids call him Papa Sean. He's the only grandpa that they've ever had. And they've never seen anything negative from this man. They saw negative things from me when they were young. And because of him, they no longer see those things. I shifted my paradigm because Sean Simpson taught me how to do so. And he taught me how to learn and also to teach. Somebody else expressed his love of teaching what he knows, and he does love it. He passed that on to me. And I never fail to share in Providence with the things that I've learned, whether it be with my kids or with my friends or with other inmates. I regret the actions that I made that put me in prison, but I don't regret this past prison sentence at all because it saved my life. And it's because of Sean Jensen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Thank you so very much.
On the phone, do we have Phil Bachelor or Bachelor?
Are you on the phone, Phil? Okay.
Yes, sir, I am.
So please state your name and tell the board what you want to tell them this afternoon, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. My name is Philip Bachelder. What I would like to say is, I met Sean Jensen in October of 2002, and we were cooking. And I was raised as almost a hateful individual. Someone is such an amazing person. He was past stuff that I was, but that I thought in ideologies. And he continued to show me one thing. He said, how can you fix anything until you love yourself? And the man actually helped me. I spent much of my child and adult life in prison. I got out of prison November 2016, and I stayed out. That man showed me that people don't always have to look at life as what you were given because you can change it. Sean actually told me that if you can't change yourself, then you're not worth changing. I have lived in society for 3 years. I own my own business. I have continued to prosper out here. And to be honest, inside, I was one of the ones that everybody said belonged in prison. And Sean Jensen actually made me look at my life. I actually, through cognitive restructuring, through all four of the classes that he taught, I ended up teaching in prison. And the man continuously told me that you cannot live until you know yourself. The psychological effect that Sean had on me has made where I love myself. I have my family. I work hard out here. The man, he has an ability to make people, he didn't change me. And I know that that's what a lot of the things said. He taught me how to change myself. He taught me how to study so that I can better myself. Everything that I do is the basis behind it. I'm not going to say that Sean Jensen did all this for me. What I'm going to say is he made me understand that I can do it for myself. And psychologically, that is such a huge impact from a man in prison to do to people. I can't count how many people he's helped in there, but please look up my record because I was one of those kids that everybody said belonged in prison. And in my opinion, Sean Jensen is the reason that I stopped feeling that that's where I belonged. And now I have my son out here. My mother loves me. I have they travel all over the country with him. And it's people like Sean Jensen that can actually make people see. It's not him and his type of character that changed people. It's his ability to make people like myself, understand that we're worth what we're worth to ourselves. And it wasn't just his classes, it was just the way he was. Every day, he helped me through changing to where I believe who I am today. And I personally feel that he would be even greater than I am out here. And I feel like I'm the greatest thing in the world out here. I've changed everything, and that man has continued to help that. I've known Rhonda for not as long, but they're such a stable family. And to be able to change somebody like me, and again, you look at my record, I don't have any qualms with it. And today, I look at myself like a productive member of society and a businessman. And I get it all through people like Sean. And I think he's one of the four that actually made me look at it. And the huge part is what he can do to make you look at yourself. He has helped so many people in there. And I don't even care about any of them that he's helped. I'm in society as a person that everybody said belongs in prison. And I'm in the Better Business Bureau, and everything in my life is perfect. So if people like me that society said belonged in prison can be out here just living, I know he can. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. Any questions? I don't have any questions from board members.
Do we have Kenny Pennington on the phone?
Kenny, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
Yes, sir. Would you state your name and agency number for the record, sir?
Yeah, my name is Kenny Pennington. My agency number is 153959.
Yes, sir. What do you want to tell us this afternoon, sir?
So I like Mr. Brockelder, and like a lot of people that know Sean Jensen, did a lot of time in prison. I did over 17 years in Arizona State Prison. I like Mr. Brockelder as well. Am one of those lifelong kids that just grew up top and in the streets of West Phoenix, Arizona. Met Sean, 2006, I think it was, maybe a little earlier than that. Became friends with him, found out that he was, teaching some courses on different things. I mean, it was his job there at the prison. But I became friends with him, more importantly, and everybody talks about how great his classes were and all this stuff, and what a wise man he was and all this stuff. But the one thing that stood out to me about Sean Jensen and something that I take with me and will continue to take with me is his balance. He had a balance about him where he was just an even keel individual where nothing shook him and he stayed up all the time. He saw the happiness and the positive in every situation, good or bad. It was a lesson that's so important in my life now. I like Mr. Brockelder. I'm a business owner. I've been out of prison now. Next month will be 3 years. I'm a homeowner. I set out and look at the sunsets at my property and think, without sitting here now in my business truck, working, thinking, man, without people like him, just putting these ideas and putting these, helping me with my own character building, I wouldn't be where I'm at now, just like probably thousands of people over the 40 some odd years that I'm sure Sean's been away from society. He's probably helped society more than any person that works for the state of Arizona and does it for a living. He's counseled more people and helped more men than probably anybody can stand up and say that they've done for a living. And he's doing it out of just his a gracious heart and the fact that he just loves people. You know, look, you know, I can honestly tell you that I never in 17 years asked anybody what they did to go to prison, and honestly, I don't care. But I you know, you're judged by your character in society, and you're judged by your character in prison. It's all the same. Your character stands out so much more in prison. And I will tell you that as far as character is concerned, he's top notch. His you know, his wisdom, I mean, you guys have heard stories and stories about his wisdom, his knowledge when it comes to these, you know, psychology, and I mean, you name it. I mean, if you needed to hear something about it, Sean Jensen could tell you. The thing that I honestly loved about him is it didn't matter what time of day, what he was doing, what was on his mind. If there was something on your mind that you needed to get off, he put himself, his feelings, his doings all aside, and it was that balance that he brought into your life where you could be so stressed out about what's going on the streets and, you know, things you have no control over, and somehow he could bring you to a level where you're like, it was always kind of like, you're right, you know, because he could bring you to just this level of contentment. So, I mean, I don't know how much listening to all of us helps, but I will tell you this, that you could go interview, you know, 10% of every prison yard in Arizona, and 8 out of 10 people that you talk to will tell you something about Sean Jensen, and you won't hear one negative thing about that man. And I'll include the Department of Correction employees in that. He has done nothing but to bring a balance and a civility over everything he touches, everywhere he's at. He's not a prison guy. There's prison guys like me and Mr. Bockelder. We're considered the prison guys. You know, we deserve to go there. We deserve to be there. We fit in there. This isn't a prison guy. This is the guy that you see in pictures with a bunch of grandkids and things like that. This is not a prison guy. This is not, we know, you know, when you're in there for 17 years, you know who's prison and who's not prison. And Sean Jensen is the furthest thing from a prison guy that I've met in there, and I've met thousands. I've been all over. I've been to every single facility just about, and I've never met a more non-prison type guy in the system. And I can't recall, and I don't think anybody on the phone or sitting there in the courtroom can either. So I don't know what else I can say about Sean Jensen except for, you know, this guy brings a balance to the world and everybody he interacts with that is unmatched. He has a perspective on life that's unmatched. You know, one thing that I need to say before I go, and this is something that, kind of gets me choked up, is that me and his talks about my family and me maybe losing my parents before I got out. He really did teach me one thing that I'll take forever, and that family is number one. Every second that you can get with them is so extremely important that you have to work your whole life just to have the time with your family, and that's exactly what I'm doing. If Sean, if you're listening, thank you. You know, I appreciate it, and thank you to the judge and everybody else. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pennington. Any questions for Mr. Pennington? I don't see any questions at this time. Okay, who else should we go to, sir?
We have Linda Umla here in person.
Okay, please come forward. Good afternoon, and would you state your name for the record, please, ma'am?
Linda Umla.
What do you want to tell the board?
And I edited.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
If you don't mind, I'll just read. I'm a different story. Because my name's Linda, and I am the mother of an inmate. A painful confession, but true. Never in a million years did my family ever think one of our children would end up in prison. My son Ryan's incarceration was caused by an addiction to drugs, whereby he committed theft. Yet we asked ourselves, as a family, for a long time, how could an intelligent, healthy, happy son lose his college scholarship and family to the lure of drugs, which eventually led him to prison. I began with Ryan entering East Unit in Florence. One morning we received our weekly phone call from Ryan, and we hear the name Sean Jensen, also known as Mr. J. Ryan explained to us that he had found an important mentor, Mr. Jensen, and that Mr. J taught classes. During my family's new experience of visitations to the prison system, we were able to meet Mr. Jensen, who, while incarcerated, had literally saved our son's life when no one else could ever help. It's my sincere observation, after getting to know Mr. Jensen through Ryan and through Rhonda, that he's a decent man. Therefore, I feel comfortable with him, with our son. I can attest to this since my only son, Ryan, would not be alive or stable-minded making good choices today, if not for this one insightful human being disguised in orange prison garb. I still can't believe Mr. J is an inmate and not a well-rounded professor with a passion to tutor others that have little hope or no support system. Mr. Jensen is prison rehabilitation in action, is what we call him. His healthy code of conduct could be taught in the public school systems, reducing future incarcerations. I began teaching Ryan that there was a much healthier and safer path available to him. Sean got through to Ryan by explaining about strong foundations to build upon. Mr. J pointed out the incredible support system and value system Ryan was raised by. Mr. J taught Ryan all the values of neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to change and adapt to good and healthy, even following traumas and tragic experiences. Mr. Jensen's teachings filtered into our family, so we were able to better understand how to become part of the solution. No one else has ever been able to get through to Ryan. I believe Sean Jensen saw something in Ryan that he wanted to save. Sean redirected Ryan's thinking, reinforcing Ryan's ability to make better decisions. Mr. Jensen directs his energy and time every day to other inmates that want to better themselves, want a better life for their families, especially inmates that don't have a support system or might not even receive family visits, letters, or phone calls. I call that selfless service, which means to unconditionally be of help whenever the need of such assistance is appropriate, and whenever it's possible to do so without any thought whatsoever of yourself or gain. Mr. J's selfless service also includes the progression of humanity when we look in the prison systems. Even while Mr. Jensen was going through chemotherapy, he would walk the East Yard with Ryan to continue the progressive talks about better paths to take in order to reduce recidivism. Mr. J would stress exercise of the body and the brain. You gotta read, you gotta quit smoking, you have to eliminate medication, you need to write, you need to learn more. Well, Ryan accomplished all of it, and now he's spreading the word of Mr. J over at the Globe Yard where he has moved to. So the lessons continue every day. Ryan signed up for all Mr. J's classes, even if not accredited through a college. Today, Ryan has 24 college credits under his belt, and he has rediscovered his love for learning, working, and helping others like Mr. J does. Today, I'm not just another mother of an inmate, but a very grateful woman with purpose and a brighter future for our entire family. We were able to take our grief and tragedy and turn them all into something positive and wonderful. That's a great feeling to move forward with into real happiness. Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Sean Jensen also continues to be instrumental in our son's healthy, improved life. Of all the professional people we worked with over the years, only Mr. Jensen's knowledge and dedication made the important difference that worked. Ryan has continued on this well-needed path that Sean placed him on, even though they can no longer see one another. Ryan was moved to Globe due to his limited time left to serve. Ryan has completed three more classes through Rio Salada College since Mr. J was able to guide us through that process. Sean reminds that he pretends that he might someday be able to attend Ryan's college graduation. Breaks my heart. Mr. J has been an inspiration to hundreds of inmates as well as the correctional officers by displaying exemplary behavior with no use for tattoos, tobacco, alcohol, or drugs, since academia is his mantra. Mr. J continues to nip at the heels of the inmates to keep them on task and on time. He even tries to get them out of bed earlier and gets them to think about the music they're listening to. Inmates seek advice from Mr. Jensen regarding family issues and personal growth. Since inmates often leave behind struggling family members, Mr. J's tutelage also reinforces a more sustainable life with hope for extended family members living in the mainstream. Sean Jensen has tried to teach reduced violence and reduced recidivism in prison while enforcing cause and effect factors that the inmates are understanding. Many men in the wrong place at the wrong time have made poor choices leading to incarceration. Then enters Mr. Jensen, who mentors the inmates and teaches them accountability, responsibility, growing oneself through listening and learning with less talking. Mr. J asks for nothing of the inmates other than that they try their best. Our son Ryan has completed the following Jensen classes, as I call them. There's understanding the offender, crime and social causation, which is cause and effect, corrections and sentencing, rehabilitation and punishment, normal and abnormal psychology. Mr. Jensen stresses to inmates with their unique personalities and tough backgrounds that the power of knowledge can create a healthy future for themselves. Sean has worked long years to earn his college degree, and now he gives back, and he doesn't ask for anything. He believes we must all make the best of our limited time on earth, no matter where we are in our lives. For 46 years, Sean Jensen has not known the warmth of a normal, loving family, and that's something I take for granted. Together, Sean and Rhonda lost the opportunity to have children and grandchildren. They cannot share the freedoms other couples take for granted. Sean Jensen knows grief of the highest magnitude himself. Sean has lived with remorse for over 16,800 nights. He's been alone, remembering his worst moment. Sean also remembers the brutality of life as a Marine while serving in Vietnam. Anyone who has not been involved in war cannot understand its effects, especially on a young 18-year-old mind. There's nothing else in life that is comparable, I'm sure. I thank Sean for giving his time and risking his safety for keeping America free. I've never understood why there might be a question as to whether Mr. Jensen might ever harm anyone if he were to be released. The fact that he has been incarcerated for 46 years and has never tried to escape or harm a fellow inmate would indicate he's a decent man only waiting to live out his twilight years with his wife, Rhonda. I believe Sean would appreciate to live a simple life of reading, sharing meals with his wife, taking walks to stay healthy if that's possible, and continue to teach if possible. I would ask and hope that everyone involved here today would give this man of value a final chance to live out his declining years outside prison walls with his wife, so that they may one last time experience time together doing rudimentary things all humans do take for granted. I like to imagine that one day Sean and Robbie would attend church, shop for a few groceries together, and share a meal Sean helped prepare. I can only surmise that Rhonda must dream about being reunited with her husband every day. Rhonda and Sean have sacrificed much over Sean's 46 years of incarceration. Maybe today we can consider thinking about bestowing a gift upon two people that have paid long and hard for this grief. I have faith that Sean Jensen's difficult 46 years served, his diagnosis of cancer, his present credibility and good character will be considered by all parties when it comes down to making an unprejudiced decision today. Most might agree that Mr. Jensen has paid for his crime, has shown remorse, while grief continues to pop up when least expected. It's evident that Mr. Jensen can do some good for the community with life lessons learned. Forgiveness is a powerful gift to give, and I want to thank you for your valuable time today. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for coming today. Any questions, board members? I don't see any. Thank you.
Finally, we'd like to turn to Katie Pazoskis.
Thank you.
Thank you. board members.
Please state your name again, Ms. English attorney.
My name is Katie Pazaskis. I am the supervising attorney for the ASU Post-Conviction Clinic. Through my work with the Arizona Justice Project, I have known Sean and Rhonda for nearly 10 years. I started at the Arizona Justice Project in 2008 as a young attorney and became acquainted with an issue, a sentencing issue involving the Arizona's old code lifers. These were individuals sentenced to life under the 1956 criminal code. Through that research, I learned about Rhonda, and I had reached out to her with some questions. And she and I met, and we talked about the issue that she had known it to be, because she had lived with that issue for a number of years, having a husband who was an old code lifer. And through her, I met Sean. We're making a decision today about whether Sean should be released. I understand the board will have a lot of information in front of it. Very unfortunately, the tragedy that occurred in 1973 cannot be undone. I deeply, deeply wish it could. We all do. If the board had the opportunity to meet Sean, I believe they would see the person that we know him to be. He is tender-hearted, good-natured, caring, generous, hard-working, and kind. Most importantly, he is deeply sorry for what he did. Rhonda's commitment to Sean is nothing short of extraordinary and admirable. She has stood by his side for the past 46 years, and it has not been easy. It's hard, it's difficult, and there have been many challenges that they've faced, and they've faced them together, and they've done it with grace. You heard testimony today from fellow inmates about how Sean has touched their lives. You have letters in your packet about the many individuals Sean has touched through his teaching and through his mentorship. There are, in addition to the individuals who spoke today, there are letters in your packet. One of those letters is from an individual named Kevin Price, and it says, "Sean's help and impact in my life has a generational effect. From me and my wife down to our child, I speak to both my wife and my little girl with as much hope and passion as Sean used to speak of me. He taught me that I could be whatever I aspired to be. I give that daily to my family and friends." This is the general theme of those letters. This is the person Sean Jensen is. I want to end with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." Sean, in my opinion, and Rhonda, Sean is a bright light. He has taken an unfathomable trauma in his life, and he's tried to make it better. And that is what he's done inside, is he has tried to make it better. And we believe that he has done that, and that he is ready to be released to the community. He's been in prison for the past 45 plus years. With his support system, we believe he is ready to be released. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Any questions by board members? If not, I believe that you're finished at this point, or we will have an opportunity to respond at the end of the hearing today, you or and or Mr. Jensen, whoever would like to respond at that time. At this time, we will go to the victim side of the aisle, so to speak, and we will invite this distinguished attorney to come forward, and please state your name and your agency number for the record.
Good afternoon. I don't have an ADC number, but my name is...
I'm sorry. I mean,
My name is Colleen Plays. I'm the chief counsel with Arizona Voice for Crime Victims from Phoenix.
I assume you did not take away when I say you're this distinguished.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, we asked if you would allow us 5 minutes. We have a video we want to show, and we need to get the screen...
Okay.
So
we'll be in recess for 5 minutes while they get their audio visual set up for us. So the board is in recess for 5 minutes.
Thank you.